because at the end of the day, what we're really doing is we're democratizing entertainment. We're giving everyone a chance to get discovered, and we're letting the global audience say, this is what we love.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Dreams Start Here is the slogan for Audience Awards. They're a Missoula, Montana-based company specializing in connecting aspiring filmmakers to sponsors, festivals, and media outlets. Founder and CEO Paige Williams, a filmmaker herself, launched Audience Awards in 2013 as a platform where short-format filmmakers can hone their craft. With a focus on advancing unheard and diverse voices, Audience Awards has enlisted the involvement of companies like Hilton Worldwide, Univision, Kodak, Dell, Sony, and 20th Century Fox. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we'll talk with Paige about her journey from social worker to award-winning filmmaker to art meets commerce matchmaker. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Welcome, Paige.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Tell our listeners about Audience Awards.
Sure. Audience Awards is an online community that's a platform that connects filmmakers and brands and distribution outlets as well as the general global viewing audience. So what happens there is filmmakers submit films or create new films, and then the audience can come and watch those films and vote on them and curate them. And then brands can activate our filmmaker community to create content for them or say, hey, we love these 10 films. We want to pick them up and put them here.
And what was the genesis of the organization? How did it get started?
Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker by trade. I had made a few documentary films, and my films weren't great technically, but they would tell a pretty good story, so much so that when they would travel the festival circuit, they would win the audience awards at film festivals. So we're based here in Missoula, Montana, and I was working with the Montana Film Office Commissioner at the time, and he had a great idea to create three YouTube-centric video channels that focused on Montana. So he was working with me to figure out how to source that content for their YouTube channels. And I was into, well, let's not just get great content, but how do we drive an audience? So I came up with this concept of the Audience Awards, that we could run public voting and jurying on films around certain genres or themes. And I thought, well, that's a really great idea. So I bought the URL, theaudienceawards.com, and Googled how to start a tech business. And that was 5 years ago.
So leading into that, your background is interesting to me because you started off as a social worker.
Yes, out of college.
Uh-huh. And then how did you go from being a social worker to a filmmaker?
Okay.
That's not a normal transition.
Yeah, well, I'm not normal, that's for sure. I've never been accused of that. I wanted to be an actor. And my father said, no daughter of mine is going to New York City and no daughter of mine is going to major in acting. So I showed him up and got an undergraduate degree in philosophy. And I thought, boy, this is even more useful than an acting degree, Pops. And so I went to a great liberal arts college in Mississippi. I'm from Jackson originally, called Millsaps. And so I finished there. And I graduated, and I still did theater in college and stuff, but I wanted to go do something new because I went to college around where I grew up, and I loved A River Runs Through It and Brad Pitt and the whole Montana mystique, and I had a couple of friends who lived here, and I thought, well, I'll go check out Montana and see what it's like. And that was in 99, and I stayed. And so my first job was to serve adults with disabilities, and I did that for several years. And I kind of started looking around for something else to do. I got a little bored, quite frankly. And I've always had a creative go-getter gene. And so I decided to go to grad school. And so I came here to the University of Montana and ended up doing a double master's degree in directing and then filmmaking. And so that kind of set me out of the social work arena and into a creative arena. And then when I graduated with my MFA and MA, I started thinking, okay, how am I going to put this to use? So I started a production company and started making doc films.
You've gone from being a social worker to being very creative in a different way in the arts, and now you're running a business with employees and budgets. And how have you made that transition?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the middle there, while I was making doc films, I was supporting myself through the art, but also through teaching classes and the entertainment management program in the business school. And really, the classes were business and entertainment and the combination of art and commerce. Because if you're going to be an artist, figure out how to support yourself. And every project you do, if you want to support yourself financially with that project, needs a business plan. And so every film I produced was or directed was its own little small business. In fact, each film was its own LLC. You know, I specialize in this medium between art and commerce. And so I took what I learned from making films and taught myself a lot more and surrounded myself with a lot smarter people than I am in terms of business and finance, and then started the company from there. Because really, ultimately, back to that philosophy degree, it's about asking the right questions of the right people. And so the company requires a ton of hours, and there's no time to make films. But I was also pretty worn out. And so I started this company and haven't turned back. And now I get to help thousands of filmmakers create their own projects and get them financed.
So each of your films was an LLC, which is a limited liability corporation. Did you have to go out and seek funding for Audience Award itself as an organization?
Yes. So the original concept behind the audienceawards.com was, okay, well, every month we'll host a new online film festival and we'll run audience voting and jury voting for those films. And so I would go out to sponsors to say, hey, do you want to attach your name to it? So one of the first calls I made was to the Montana Department of Commerce. And I said, would you like to sponsor a film festival? Or better yet, what if we did a film school competition with the Grizzlies, which is the University of Montana Film School, versus the Cats, the Montana State University Film School? And they thought, well, you know, they said, that's a fun idea. So I was immediately able to generate some revenue. But what I found was even more valuable to them was they said, well, now, wait a minute. What if we took all those filmmakers and had them create content about what makes Montana a great place to live and work and play? And so from there, I developed a business model of crowdsourcing high-quality content from filmmakers in a location or globally around an idea or a theme or a mission. And so we were able to finance the company through revenue, which is always great for a technology company. Now, there wasn't enough revenue to pay for the people I needed to pay for. We had kind of have three stools. We have sales and marketing and development management. And so I went out and started to raise a series seed round. We are a C Corp in Delaware. So that's pretty standard for any tech company. And we raised about $700,000 in the series seed. And we're now revenue positive, which is great news.
And how many people are working at Audience Awards now?
So Audience Awards has, we have gone through several iterations of hiring and letting go based on cash flow. It's been a very interesting ride in terms of that. So currently right now, we have three full-time employees in Missoula, a couple of part-time employees, some interns from the University of Montana, and then we have three people who work for us in Los Angeles. And then we have a guy who's running our development team in New York, and his development team is in India. And then we have an advising CFO who lives in D.C., so we're kind of spread out.
So let me switch gears a little bit and talk about who your clients are.
Sure.
Where do the filmmakers come from? How do they find you? How do you engage them and interact with them?
So, you know, we have basically three customers. We have filmmakers, we have brands, and we have the general viewing audience. So filmmakers, we find by a film school ambassador program that we run. So we're always letting film school students know about us, as well as some other ways that we reach filmmakers. Of course, there's a ton of blogs and groups and platforms that are dedicated to filmmakers like Film Freeway and Without a Box. And whenever we build it, they come. And so really our job is to just get the word out to filmmakers about the opportunity. We've barely scratched the surface. We have 80,000 filmmakers on our platform currently, but I project that there are many, many, many more based on the number of film schools around the world. And so our job is to just reach them, really. And then we have brands, and that's a totally different story of how we reach them.
So tell me that story, how you reach the brands.
Okay, so when we are acquiring a new brand to use our platform, we say to the brand, what kind of content do you need to put on your channels? You know, on all your social media channels, on your website, et cetera. And then they say, well, Paige, in the example of GoDaddy, they said, we want to feature small business stories. And so we said to filmmakers around the world, create a video 3 minutes or under that features a cool small business in your community. So GoDaddy awarded over $20,000 in prizes. They got over 233 submissions that they now have the rights to use across their blog, to deliver internally to their employees, and across their YouTube and social media channels. And then also a lot of brands take that content and it gives them good ideas for ad campaigns that maybe Madison Avenue will produce. So the way we reach them is through relationships.
Third stool.
Okay. The audience. So filmmakers crowdsource and tell their friends, hey, I created this cool thing for Southwest Air. So Southwest just ran a campaign of tell a traveler's story in 3 minutes or under. And so they'll tell all their friends about the video. They'll share it via Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. And then their friends come and vote on it. So it's an organic spreading of this content across social. And we haven't spent any money on building that audience. That's something that's a huge opportunity for us in the future.
So let me ask you this. You said you went through a lot of iterations for the business up until now. So in hindsight, what have you learned from those experiences?
I have learned so much. In January and February of 2017, so about a year ago, I thought we were going to do X in revenue, and we did Z, and it was way below. And so in the summer, I was looking at the company and deciding what we were going to do. And what I decided was, you know, we've built a platform that really can help the world through stories, because I believe filmmakers can help change people's hearts and minds. And we're helping filmmakers. So as long as I can keep the doors open and do stuff that's really cool that helps change the world, then I'll keep doing the business regardless of how hard it is. And from that, some amazing campaigns have come about that deal with all types of issues in our world, including a campaign we're about to launch that's a film challenge for each of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And so I think for me, the biggest lesson I've learned is to make sure I'm doing something I love so that no matter how much it hurts or even how great it is, it's worth it at the end of the day. And it really doesn't have to do necessarily with, for me particularly, not necessarily for my investors or potential investors, but today it's not about the money. It's about changing the world. And so if I follow that passion first and the mission first, then it's evident in sitting where I am today in 2018 that the rest will come.
What's fascinating to me is you work with filmmakers from around the world. What are the things that American filmmakers and foreign filmmakers have in common? And what are the things that are different?
So the technology's very similar, you know, because it's all online software and cameras that is accessible to everyone. The thing I find that is the most different is the stories that they're telling and the perspective that they tell it from. And I'm thinking right now mostly about true stories, not necessarily narrative. When you get into Europe, the narratives are a little, you know, they don't really have an end. They don't have the Hollywood ending. And that's true for short films as it is for feature films. But when you're looking at the documentary stories that come across our platform and are submitted, you get a cultural view that you would not receive in the United States. And it's quite authentic, and it's really moving. And oftentimes, for me, it's something that I wouldn't have experienced unless I had watched that film produced by that filmmaker in Africa and submitted on the Audience Awards.
You've been on both sides of the camera. So let me ask you this. How can you tell a good filmmaker? I mean, occasionally you have to get things in that you say, this really doesn't cut it.
Yeah, everything that is submitted to our festivals and challenges and contests, they have to go through the first pass. And that can include decency issues, you know, versus, oh, this content's not good issues. And we've learned from that. You know, we've learned to first look at the content before it's accepted to competes. For example, we once got a slideshow. So we were like, well, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not dealing with slideshows. So, you know, I'm not ultimately the jury. I run a tech company. But what we do is we allow the audience to vote for their favorite films. And generally, the best stuff that's the most entertaining rises to the top based on audience vote. And then also the other part of what we do is everything that we run, whether it's a film festival or a film challenge or a video contest, has an industry jury attached to it, and those are the experts. And you know, what I love, you're not going to necessarily love, and vice versa. And I think that that's what's interesting about our platform, is because at the end of the day, what we're really doing is we're democratizing entertainment. We're giving everyone a chance to get discovered, and we're letting the global audience say, this is what we love. And then we can turn that around to Amazon or to Hulu and Netflix and say, hey, we're the best content lab in the world. This episode right here did really well with the global audience. And so you might look at picking this up and developing it into a deal.
Is there content from a sponsor that you won't go out and get for them?
What do you mean?
If they're running a hate campaign, or if they're, you know, is there a sponsor that has something that your team feels viscerally opposed to? Or do you democratize it fully that free speech is free speech?
Well, we're not running any campaigns for Putin. However, I come from a very interesting world. I was raised Southern Baptist in Mississippi and am married to a woman and have two kids and made a documentary about how faith and the gay issue and the Bible, how we get over that and appreciate relationships and have conversations. So,
by the way, that film was Mississippi Queen.
Yes, it was. So I'm very good at seeing both sides of a coin. And I'm not going to say, we're only going to look at this coin, because if we don't look at the other side of the story, then we don't learn from one another. However, we have a community standard on our platform that does not allow trolling or hate speech or bots or anything that is degrading to the human spirit. Now, I don't care if you vote Republican or Democrat, or if you want to run a campaign on either side of that issue, or even globally, but if it's basically for the world, we're in favor, and if it's against the world and degrading, we're just not going to run it. And that's a great thing about being the boss, is because I can say that.
It's good to be in charge. So where do you see Audience Awards going in the future? What kind of direction are you headed?
So what I've realized recently is that the true value of our platform for filmmakers is to get discovered and to get deals. And then the value for distributors is the content that lives on our platform. And then we hope to increase our audience engagement in watching those films, because we have a library of films that are truly the top short films in the world. So I think the future is doing more of what we do. And for filmmakers, it's to create a marketplace where they can sell and develop products and get production deals. And we may even invest in some of those productions, as well as sell those productions. And then for brands, brands are risk averse, especially big behemoths like we've worked with. And so it's finding the right person who says yes and saying, here's a really interesting way to engage with your audience and collect really interesting content and avoid the people who want to block your ads and engage them in an interesting way. And so we just plan on doing more of that with brands and reaching more and more brands. And then I think, you know, once we have all of that, you know, the audience will just continue to grow and build.
I'm assuming with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu, there are a lot more outlets for short films than there had been 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I'm having those conversations with those organizations. And what we're doing now is we're packaging short films into an hour-long program. So we just ran an Ocean Film Challenge for Dr. Sylvia Earle. And it's, what are the issues that the ocean faces and how can we fix them? And so the top eight films were deemed the finalists. That's a nice hour block of films. They're going to premiere at the DC Environmental Film Festival in March of 18, so coming up based on where we are today. And they will then be packaged and sold to one of these distribution outlets. And so we can do that over and over and over.
What do you think has been the most eye-opening experience you've had in running your business? Is there something that was totally unexpected or something that really caught you off guard?
So from a positive perspective, it's amazing that if you continue to say yes and continue to find the yes, what you can build and how you can positively impact people's lives just by taking the next step, whatever that may be. And no one can really tell me no, right? I mean, people can tell me no, but I'll go find the person who says yes. I did not know how difficult it would be and how many no's I would have to get through to find the yeses. And I didn't know that I would live in a life that is full of extreme highs and extreme lows based on those no's and yeses. So the challenge for me as an entrepreneur in this company and doing what I do from Missoula, Montana, try to figure out a way to live in the middle and to not be so affected by it and to just count it all as a part of it and that it's all, you know, for good and to let the negative fall to the side, the positive to rise from the top. I know that I'm getting it right when I get a yes. So I've learned a ton from the no's. And as long as I kind of have that perception of that, then it helps with living in the middle.
So what advice would you give to a tech startup entrepreneur, based on what you just shared with me about the yeses and the no's, on how to prepare for what they're going to be dealing with?
I would just say, make sure that you are fully committed and love whatever it is that you're creating and that it comes from, like, whatever that comes from, whether it's a desire to do X, Y, or Z, just make sure it's 120%. Because sometimes you can be doing the best thing in the world, but it's really hard to keep going. I would also say to find some people in your life who you can talk to about it that's not your spouse, because they're going to get tired of hearing about it.
Lastly, can you share a success story with our listeners?
So I mentioned this, but this summer it was kind of like a come to Jesus moment for me about this company and whether we were going to move forward or not, and if we did, in what way. And then I went to this amazing event called Hatch that happens in Big Sky, Montana, and other places around the world where 100 creatives get together that are curated to solve the world's problems. And there I met a wonderful friend named Jeff Leitner who solves the world's complex problems, specifically the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So following Hatch, we got on the phone and we said, what are we going to do to change the world together? And we came up with this really audacious goal to create a film challenge for each of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Because of that, we started putting the team together and saying, okay, how are we going to fund it and all the partners? And it appears that funding for six of the goals is coming to fruition. And in fact, not just funding, but the film challenges will be a headline event for the six global conferences that are happening around climate and around the environment. And it's going to be very exciting. It's called the Equilibrium Conference. And the next one is in, or the first one is in Oslo in January of 19. And so it's something that, you know, it's kind of like that. If you build it, they will come. And let's just do this through blind faith. And it's happening. And so it's very exciting for us.
Paige, it's been very enlightening talking with you about audience awards, in particular, the motivation and challenge that you have undertaken to give voice to unheard and diverse perspectives. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs. produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all of our shows. Listen next time to Can Do, when our guest will be Marissa Keenan, co-founder of Sweet Peaks Ice Cream Shops in Montana, Idaho, and Washington. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.